mind if I can have
that.
I
didn't go on.
Yeah.
Go for it.
I don't remember.
Yeah, I wasn't trying to snub you. If I'm...
Ooh, that was effective. I'm going to tell you what.
Thanks. Okay.
I think
we will reconvene. The next item is the report from the chair. And I wanted to recognize Crystal because I didn't get a chance to get to her during the public comment time. So,
thank you.
Walk a mile in his shoes.
I'm in for the mic.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Crystal Platt from Omaha. And just a quick comment. One of the issues that I believe came up when the transportation issue was looking at possible possibilities within the state was drivers who could be paid in areas where there were fewer opportunities for cab services, and a concern that was raised by agencies and individuals was liability. And this would probably take a legislative effort on the part of Nebraska to cover those liability concerns. And I was just going to point out, this might be an area where the National Federation of the Blind of Nebraska and the American Council of the Blind of Nebraska could work together on legislation for this.
Right.
Because I can't think of a philosophical difference in the organizations that would preclude us from working together. So I would really encourage us to do that. Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
Well, that's
And I'll approach Amy afterward and see if we can make something work.
That would be great.
I have respect for her. I always have.
I also wanted to let everyone know, over to my right against the wall, as you come in, that wall there where the donuts are, there's also ice water and iced tea, because we've attempted to remedy the heat situation, and your choice is ice water or iced tea.
No, I think there's buckets of ice.
Barbara, you want some ice?
Yeah, I do.
Great. Okay.
There's Kool-Aid there? I haven't had Kool-Aid in years.
No Kool-Aid.
I'm in Kool-Aid.
Our next topic is report from the chair. I don't really have very much to report. I haven't, it's over the holidays, so I really haven't had any speaking engagements or any things going on outside of the board meetings, except for our email discussions, which are typically more planning, scheduling types of things, so it's not really anything exciting. Were there
Julie,
things?
Could you speak up, please? I can barely hear.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm not very loud. I'm trying to, but I'm just not very loud. Are there anything that the other commissioners would like to share?
Madam Chairman.
Yes.
I was just going to say that we do still do the networking group by teleconference, which is an opportunity for all the state agencies and anybody that's really interested in what's going on at commissions and rehabilitation centers for the blind as such to meet. I did participate in the one in the end of November. Was a very good discussion on, you know, the kinds of things that people decide to do. They'll come to the center and maybe they'll take 3 months and then they decide they have to go home and, you know, that they would really benefit from a longer stay and that kind of thing. And then this discussion went to that sometimes there are reasons, maybe there's a family reason, maybe there's a health reason, maybe there's some other reason. But in a lot of cases, people will come back and do it. And, you know, I think the thing that we know at the commission is everybody's lifestyle is different. Everybody's family situation and all kinds of things are different. And sometimes, even though it's more efficient for them to come and attend 9 to 12 months clear through, sometimes that's just not possible. So that was a very good discussion. The last one that we had was in January, I believe. I didn't attend I didn't participate in that one. I was away. I was out of the state for a while, and so I didn't participate. But I, from the email questions that were raised by some people that did participate, it did sound like that it must have been a very lively discussion, too. It was supposed to be about the kinds of different things that different states are doing. And we really do get participation from all over the United States. We've had people from Alaska, Oregon, California, Maryland, I mean, just Virginia, Missouri, all over the place. And sometimes the discussions are very good. Sometimes we get off on other subjects, but I feel like it's a worthwhile discussion because sometimes you get answers to things that we're going to do. Somebody said, don't reinvent the wheel. I think that's the kind of thing that we can get from each other. And a lot of times I'm just, you know, always patting our executive director, who usually participates too, on the back, because a lot of times somebody will have a question about, we don't know how to do this, or, you know, what's going to happen with this. And she a lot of times has answers, because we've already went through that kind of thing, or we have programs that other people might be interested in, that kind of thing. So I kind of, you know, feel good about the fact that Nebraska's a lot of time is on the leading edge, so to speak, of doing these kinds of things. So anyway, I really do feel that this networking group is quite good, and it's good discussion. It's very interesting. Keeps my interest up, so okay. I think it's a good investment of our time.
Thanks. Other things any of the other commissioners want to share?
Julie, I wasn't going to announce it, but I changed my mind. Back last May, everyone knows it was in attendance, or at least had heard about it, the commission, with thanks to the stimulus funding, sponsored an older blind workshop in Kearney. Well attended. In fact, they had to cut people off because it was so well attended. And of course, ACB recognized the value and the importance of it, and because, you know, we received word that it wasn't going to happen again this year because of funds and et cetera, et cetera. The ACB board in June, I think it was June, whenever it was, we decided to proceed with grant writing to see if we couldn't sponsor a similar workshop this year, early next year, as we did last year. The grant was submitted a couple days before New Year's Eve, and we received word Thursday that our funding request was denied. So there will be no ACB sponsored, in conjunction with the commission or VIPS, Older Blind Conference. The reason the grantor gave, and I won't reveal the source, was because of the declining economy, stock market, and long-term commitments that they made when times were better, et cetera, et cetera. So unless we find another revenue source, you know, I mean, we'll keep working at it, but it will not happen this year or early next. So.
Before we move on, I just wanted to remind everyone that I need a name before you speak during public comment, and because we're now running behind, I'm not going to call on people outside of public comment time so that we can keep things running smoothly. With that, we will move on to the report from the executive director. Yes, Mike?
I'm sorry. I did have one thing I wanted to ask.
Sure.
You, there were a couple people that participated in that.
I can't hear you.
I'm talking to the chairman to ask her a question between the two of us. I will make it heard to everyone in just a moment. If you wanted to have anybody say anything about the event that happened at the Sheldon Memorial Art Gallery down at UNL. I believe there were some people from the commission that participated. They weren't paid to go, but they were employees of the commission and were there as such, in the sense that They were asked as being members of the commission to participate. I didn't know if that's something you wanted to talk about, have them say something about, or we'll move on. It's kind of a weird event.
Okay, yeah, and I read that. Let's move on and then see if it works later.
Okay.
Go ahead, Pearl.
All right, thank you. As most of you know, I think, my full report will be a part of the minutes, and so I would like to just, I usually just say a few things, but I'll make it even shorter this time because of the time constraint. So please, you will have a chance to read that as a part of the minutes, or if you want it directly from me, just let me know. Okay, so we have two new staff. We're pleased to have Monica Tripp and Lynn Kane on the job. They completed their training January 24th, so they are now officially, Monica is Voc Rehab Counselor in Omaha. Lynn, her full name's Linda, but she goes by Lynn, is the Center Apartment Resource Counselor, and they're both doing a great job. Robert Newman, you know, retired, we'll miss him, but he'll still be around and active in different things. And then we have two people. Jessica Bartenbach has been temporarily hired as a home teacher to fill in for Candy Larson, who is on extended medical leave. And then Ron Berzizi is actually an intern in this training center for specific to the travel area, and we'll talk more about that later, but he's a student and an intern, and that's both Jessica and Ron are working out really well. We have served so far this year, since October 1, we've served 403 vocational rehabilitation clients in all statuses, and let's see, and 403 in all statuses of independent living. I think I may have made a mistake in typing my report. I don't have the figures in front of me, but I doubt if both tracks are 403, so I'll have to check that and correct that. At any rate, so far this year, 12 individuals have been closed achieving their employment goals, and 26 have been closed achieving their independent living goals. In the training center, as of this time, 86.5% have achieved their employment goal. Only 10% are not working. The others are still in some kind of a training or a college or something. We've made some really good connections lately that I do want to mention in terms of partnering and also educating other important people in state government. I did attend both the ACB and the NFB legislative events. They were both good, and I had good conversations with some senators, including Senator Fulton, who was pretty encouraging to us about our budget request. So that was, both of those events were good. A new attorney general has been assigned to the agency. Her name is Jody Gittens. She did come over and meet with Carlos, Bill Brown, and I. We talked to her about some general things as well as the vending program, plus she toured the center. So that was a really good connection there. Then there's a new director of the program to train teachers for the visually impaired at UNL. Her name is Tess Wright. She also came to the Lincoln offices and met with some field staff and toured the center. So again, good way to make connections. And then Carlos Servan and I met with Carlos Castillo, who is the head of administrative services in the state. And we specifically wanted to talk with him about the vending opportunities, or lack thereof, in the last year or so. We did have a good meeting. I think Carlos will talk more about that later. But Mr. Castillo is also coming for a tour of the center. That'll happen this next week. So I think those are very important connections that we're making. Let's see, what else? Our videos, Pathways to Independence. The series is done now. It's being distributed. It's going to be a really excellent tool for training people. Folks nationally are interested in it, and it'll be on our website. There's lots of good information about that that you can check in with us later if you want more information. Let's see. The period from October till, or I mean, between October and the end of the year is when we do a lot of our federal reports. So, of course, we've been very busy with that. And that includes the budget reports and the content reports like for older blind and independent living and voc rehab and all that. And so those are the highlights. I would see if Carlos or Bob think there's anything else that I should have said. And otherwise, I'd encourage you all to read the whole report later. Or questions from the commissioners?
Yes.
Anything?
Yes. Could you talk more about the two newer employees, the temporary employee and the intern, or is that going to be covered in a different topic?
A little bit of it is later, but I can go ahead and the first one, Jessica, she is, well, SOS is the basically the temp agency of state government. Mm-hmm. And we use SOS in the summertime for our wages employees. And once in a while we've used it for other kind of temp workers that we need. She is an SOS employee, and she also is a blind lady, and she is doing some home teaching and those kinds of things. She works under the supervision of Connie Daly in the Lincoln District. Okay. Carlos, anything else or Bob, that I should say about the work she's doing?
She went to the INT Center, I believe, as a client.
So she was a client in the center in the past.
Mm-hmm.
But was there something else you wanted to know about her?
Well,
thank you.
I mean, I know that in the past that we've hired, you know, temporary people to, or done like a contract type of situation to have a person in the area or a blind person, you know, mm-hmm. teach skills and do things, but I guess it just makes me a little hesitant to have a person on staff that hasn't gone through the same training and doesn't meet the same CR, you know, the certification requirements.
Sure, good point. As Bob pointed out, she did go through the Orientation Training Center. So she did have that training.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm not sure if she's, is she full-time? No. I don't know if Carlos or Bob know these.
3 days a week.
3 days a week, okay. And doing basic home teaching, is that right? And is it under the supervision of one of the rehab counselors and the supervisor of the district?
I believe that, she's working with cases that are on Kansas City Road, but I believe, Carlos, correct me if I'm wrong, but Connie is actually doing the overseas paperwork.
Yes. Yeah. Not just oversee the supervision, but also some training, because as Julie mentioned, originally, that was also a concern, somebody who didn't go through the training center.
Yes.
So it went through a process of some training and some coaching as well.
Okay.
What was her name?
Jessica.
Thank you.
Does that get it on her?
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree with you. I mean, we are careful in terms of, temporary people that we bring in or Volunteers, that's always been a little bit of an issue, because if they don't have the training, you know, it just doesn't work very well. The other person, Ron, actually is here. He's a client of the Texas Rehab Agency for the Blind, and he has been in training at the Chris Cole Center for the Blind in Texas, and then needed to do an internship at an approved agency for structure discovery training, which is, that's the topic that's later on the agenda.
Oh, I get the connection.
Yeah, and so, but the Texas agency is paying us to provide additional training. So he's actually more of a student in the center, but because it's an internship, he's working closely with Jeff, who is supervising him. And then Jeff is, he's also helping Jeff because he is a good teacher, and we can have Jeff talk more about that later or now if you like. But that's, what am I not saying on that, Jeff? If you don't mind, Julie, I just
no,
asked
that's fine.
Jeff now to speak to that a little
okay.
bit.
Okay, thank you. Ron actually had been a cane travel instructor. He worked at Blind Inc. in Minnesota for a period of time, and then worked as an employee of the Texas Commission for the Blind at Chris Cole. He went off to do other things for a time, and his National Orientation Mobility Certification had lapsed, and he wants to get back into that field of work. And so he, under the very stringent rules for the apprenticeship process, he had to go through a full immersion training at an approved center, which happened to be the Louisiana Center for the Blind. He completed that in December of 2010, and he would, the requirements are that you go to a different approved center in order to complete your supervision under a either an NOMC or an NOMCT, which I am. And
Jeff, what are those?
Okay, National Orientation Mobility Certification Trainer is NOMCT, which is, we are members of the national committee that is responsible for the training of and exams provided to the certification process for National Orientation and Mobility Certified Instructors. And Ron is going to be completing a program of approximately 3 to 5 months, depending on how his performance is. At this point, it's probably be less than that because he's doing very well. And so that's basically what that particular process is about.
Thank you. So does that answer mm-hmm. on both of those?
Yep.
Okay, thank you. That's my report.
Questions from commissioners?
I did have one that...
go right ahead.
And this could be handled in a different point of the meeting. And I apologize, I'm just going to ask her a question real quick, and we'll...
Yes.
It doesn't need to be... in emails, you can pass along to us the
Excuse me, I cannot hear you.
I am just asking a quick question.
This is a public meeting, and it's a procedure. Right to hear it.
Okay. Pearl, the last meeting of the commission for board, the ACB read a letter requesting a response. That response, I know, has been written. It has been sent back to the ACB. The board has received a copy of that letter before it went back to the ACB. And I was going to ask I believe that the emails that I read stated that that copy of that letter was going to be put into the minutes
yeah.
but should it also be publicly read?
I have no problem with that. I was going to ask the question myself.
I could, sir. I'd be glad to read it. Sure. That's up to the...
Yeah, we can do that.
Okay.
I have no problem with that. I was going to ask the question.
Okay. I brought the letter from the ACB, which was dated November 5th, and then my letter, which was dated December 14th. I have not received any follow-up as a result, just for the record. So you want me to go ahead and read my letter?
That would be great.
All right.
Thank
December 14, 2010, Mr. Jim Urock, President, American Council of the Blind of Nebraska, P.O. Box 6506, Omaha, Nebraska, 68106-0506. Mr. Urock, this letter is in response to the letter dated November 5, 2010, signed by yourself, Glendora Weiland, Shirley C. Allen, Howard B. Compton, Janice Schaefer, Terry Brenforter, and Barbara Epworth. I do not have the addresses of all the co-signers, so will trust that you will share this with the ACBN Executive Board. I am sending this letter by email, so you will have it electronically, and will also mail the print letter via U.S. Postal Service. I have pasted each numerated issue here in quotation marks, followed by my response. Quote, first, any employee of NCBVI or commissioner of NCBVI, regardless of affiliation with an advocacy organization, cannot use their influence and lobby the clients of NCBVI to join or not to join an advocacy organization. End quote. It is our policy that NCBVI employees are not to attempt to influence or lobby clients to join any particular organization of any type. We do believe that there is much value in the mentoring and other benefits offered by organizations of blind and visually impaired persons. When individuals are losing vision, they struggle with many issues related to blindness. We do tell clients that meeting with other blind persons, especially those who have become successful members of their communities, can make a big difference in their lives. We bring representatives of ACB and NFB to speak at center seminars, group teaching sessions, group programs for transition age clients, and other settings. Our goal is to inform clients of the tremendous resource which exists in the local, state, and national organizations of the blind, primarily the ACB and the NFB. Quote, second, in the event that charges of any kind are filed against an individual or company in the state of Nebraska, neither NCBVI nor the NCBVI Commissioners Board act positively or negatively until the case and all of the appeals have been adjudicated. End quote. This item relates to the NCBVI Board decision to ask Outlook Nebraska, ONI, to not participate in an agency-sponsored employment workshop and job fair. At the time, several consumers directly contacted the chairperson of the NCBVI Board of Commissioners. They informed her of concerns they had about the company. They did not tell her, they did tell her that no charges of any kind had been filed at that time. The board took the action they did because of the direct concerns of several blind persons who worked at ONI. As a general statement, we, parens, the agency and the board, end parens, do not normally know whether any charges have been filed against persons or businesses. This could include OSHA, civil court, criminal court, state or federal equal opportunity commissions, and perhaps other entities. To say that we are not to act positively or negatively until the case and all appeals are processed is not logical. In the example of ONI, in the example with ONI, if in fact there had been charges filed, parens, which was not the case at the time of the decision, end parens, a positive action might have been to include them in the job fair. A negative action might have been to not include them. How does one do neither, I ask. Also, some of the larger corporations have frequent issues in court at any time. We do not know about the wide range of legal issues that might be in process. quote, third, in the event an advocacy organization attempts to cause NCBVI or the NCBVI Commissioner's Board to act negatively toward an individual or Nebraska company, that organization will be censured for a period of 6 months from presenting its desires in any form to NCBVI or the Commissioner's Board, end quote. NCBVI and its governing Board of Commissioners are public entities. As such, we are subject to communications from organizations and individuals who wish to communicate with us. This can take the shape of direct in-person contact, emails, letters, phone calls, or it can be through the Governor's Ombudsman's Office and other routes. To, quote, censure the public from any form of communication with this public agency and our board is not feasible, nor do I believe would it be legal. The key is to make sure that we respond to any communication in a manner which is respectful of the public's right to let their thoughts be known and which demonstrates wisdom and fairness in any decision taken. Quote, fourth, we think it would be prudent to change the policies regarding employees belonging to advocacy groups. We feel that membership in any advocacy group that lobbies the NCBVI are a conflict of interest, end quote. Comments were made during the public board meeting at which this letter was presented that spoke to this idea. We do not have a right to prohibit state employees from belonging to advocacy groups. Your presentation raised up the rights of this country we hold dear. State and federal laws address potential conflicts of interest. We abide by those laws. Beyond this is an issue which I have stated in more than one email to you, Jim. Perhaps you have not shared those with your executive board. Even if this agency could prohibit employees from belonging to organizations of the blind, it would result in staff members who are ignorant about blindness and or who do not care about the blind. That is not to say that one must belong to such a group to be a caring professional, but to prohibit it, even if legal, would be counterproductive. Many of our employees are not members of any such organization, but those who do choose to personally belong to one have every right to do so. Agencies which claim to be neutral toward blindness organizations are cheating their clients from the chance to expand their personal understanding of their own vision loss. Finally, since your letter was made part of the public record with November 6, 2010, NCBVI board meeting minutes, I am copying this response to our Board of Commissioners. I request that they include this response with the minutes of the upcoming meeting, February 5, 2011, so that it will become public record. Respectfully yours, Dr. Pearl Van Zandt, Executive Director, Nebraska Commission for the Blind and Visually Impaired. Our mission, empowering blind individuals, promoting opportunities, and building belief in the blind. Extra copy, NCBVI Board of Commissioners.
And Julie, what I will do in spirit of fairness, I did publish that letter in our last newsletter that was read. It's out there on the internet for the world to see. In the spirit of fairness, I will also do the same thing with this.
Thank you. With this. Okay. Other questions or comments from commissioners? Okay. I think the thing that makes the most sense right now is to wait for budget update until after lunch and perhaps move on to some of the things that will go quickly.
It's fine with me.
Yeah, that sounds
good. That works good. Okay.
Yeah. And that's why she's the chair.
Betcha.
Nancy Floral, did she leave?
She just left the room.
Okay. Is she setting up
lunch? She just
lunch?
Said back. Yeah. Nancy?
Yeah, huh?
We're still planning on lunch at noon.
Right.
Okay.
I'm just refreshing the drinks.
You're awesome.
I tell you what, I want to go on record as saying Nancy deserves a pay raise. Who do we talk to about that?
Governor Heinemann.
Well, I didn't vote for him. He won't listen.
Hey, that's
my
problem.
Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. You didn't.
So,
I'm sorry. Oops.
Let's see. I have.
Edit that out here.
The. So if we skip.
Randolph, we can do news line.
About news
line. Yeah, let's do the news line update.
Okay,
we can do that too. NFB Newsline update. We did receive the report from Jamie, and it will be a part of the public record, the written record. Any questions or comments about Newsline?
Is that the news on the radio or the newspaper?
That's the newspaper that you get over the telephone
okay.
or by email.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, then we'll move on to CAP, Complaints or Issues. A CAP is the Client Assistance Program.
Excuse me, Julie?
Yes?
This is Ann Paulston. Would you like to say something on the news line? Okay.
Not at this moment. We're not in public comment, and we need to keep on track. But I will, what was the name again?
Paul Stebbins.
Paul, okay.
Yes.
I will get to you as soon as we have a moment.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Okay, so Pearl, are there CAP complaints or issues?
There was one. There is one. It's in process. It is, let's see if I, it related to what services a client might receive from the commission while they're in post-secondary education, college, or whatever. Vicki Rasmussen has reviewed the file. She did visit with the office director and specialist and met with the client this past week. I didn't hear a report to follow up from that meeting, but I do know that it's in process, and that's the only complaint.
What? I don't understand what the... what services are available during post-secondary education?
Right.
Oh,
that's actually all I know about it.
Okay.
And
so it had something to do with funding or technology or something or books or it was something. I mean, it's something you can't be specific. I understand, but
I actually don't know.
Something.
No, not that I can't be, but uh-huh. I usually don't know the details
okay.
of a complaint until if the step is if CAP is not able to resolve it with sometimes it's kind of a mediation. She can sit down with the client and the counselor, and they come to terms with either the client agreeing or the counselor saying, okay, yeah, I see what you mean, we'll do this. If that does not occur, then basically CAP makes a ruling either in favor of the client or in favor of the commission, and then that it can come to me to review all the details and come up with a decision.
Oh, okay.
So I don't, and of course when something's in process,
yeah.
I don't know the details.
Makes sense.
Okay. Other questions about that? Okay. I think we'll take Paul's comment and then move to lunch.
And hold on 1 second for the microphone.
You'll speak in that FM voice.
Okay. Thank you. My name is Paul Stebbins. I'm station manager for the Radio Talking Book Network in Omaha, and we have been serving Nebraska for over 36 years, reading the news and a lot of other programming on an over-the-air type basis. And now I just wanted to let all of you know that we are available to the nation and the world on the World Wide Web. Mm-hmm. We're streaming 24/7. Our programs are all live. And it's available at www.rtbs.org. There's no password needed. It's open to everyone, and we invite you all to try it and see what you think. Any computer with Windows Media Player will work. And also, I just wanted to mention that we do read 4 hours every day of the Omaha World Herald and the Lincoln Journal Star. We also read regional newspapers such as the Grand Island Independent, the North Platte Telegraph, the Scottsbluff Star Herald, and the Norfolk Daily News. And I just wanted to make everyone aware of that. Thank you.
Cool.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Julie?
Is that Shane?
Yeah.
Yes.
Kind of on a related note, I just wanted to say to everyone, because I'm sure...
Hold on just a second.
Yeah.
Hubert, can you fix that, please?
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, technical right. problems. You're good.
All right, okay.
there we go.
I just wanted, kind of in a similar vein, a Newsline update. I mean, I have no doubt it was in Jamie's report, but since, you know, for the public here, since your last meeting, there is a job search feature that has gone live on Newsline. So you're able to go in and put in either your zip code or a zip code that you're hoping to move to or whatever, and then you can search for jobs by categories and so on and so forth. So I thought that that might be something that should be made public in case people hadn't been on the service for a while.
Thank you. That's awesome. Okay. I think I have that it is 11:59, and I know that this is a couple minutes fast. So we will break for lunch and try to resume in 45 minutes. We'll plan on that. We'll see if everybody can get through the line in that amount of time. Okay, 12:45. Thank you.